Hi, and thanks so much for joining us at Tycor Title Tuesdays at 2. I'm Ryan Pulliam. I can't believe that it's already July 7th. We're halfway through 2020, which I don't know if it's been the year that we'll never remember or the year that we're just going to want to forget. But I hope everybody did have an amazing 4th of July, Independence Day, celebrating America's birthday. Probably not like years past that you've been able to celebrate. But speaking of years past, I've been extremely fortunate over the past 22 years to really meet some great people and develop some amazing relationships. And when I say great people, our guest today is definitely at the top of that list because he's just been such a stellar dude from the entirety of the time that I've known him. He served the local association as president of the then GLVAR, now LVR, and he's also a owner broker along with his father, which I think is one of the coolest things. He's the corporate broker and also owner of Urban Nest Realty. So I'm really excited to have Dave Tina jump on and join us today to talk a little bit about what the Las Vegas Valley's market did in June. So Dave, thanks so much for joining us at Tycor Title Tuesdays at 2.
Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate it. Can you believe we've been in this together for over 2 decades? That's unbelievable.
It's been pretty nuts, and I've always rooted for you along the way, and I'm going to continue to do so. So I'm really excited because you've always just been such a good dude, and plus your way of explaining things I think is just super dynamic because you're straight, you're to the point, but the information you have is great. So before we get into kind of what did happen in June, can you maybe for those that don't know you in our audience, just introduce yourself and just give a quick recap on how you got here?
Oh my God, that's some pressure. Long story short, I moved to Vegas when I graduated high school when I fell in love with a girl. And everything opened up from there. And I always said, follow your heart. And my father followed me 2 years later, so he followed his heart. And it's been the Dave and Dave show ever since. I met you back in the day I was doing loans. And you were back, I think it was United back in the day. And it's been quite a journey from there. I've been blessed and just grateful for this this ride. I mean, real estate's changed my life. I met my wife here during real estate, and it's just been wonderful.
That's one of the things. I mean, and I've told you this offline too, but you and your dad's relationship, that's one of the I would love to if my son and I had that great relationship. So I love what you guys have going on. I've loved being able to kind of see and get to know you guys over these past few years. But Dave, what happened in June? We're a couple months into the shutdown. The properties that are closing in June are about 30 to 45 days back, right in the heart of it. So what did we see in number of sales in June?
June was, it was the don't call it a comeback. It was time. It was just, we got slaughtered in units and it was a really tough time. June, there was a 44% growth in units. And that is tremendous growth. Now, we got to take it with a grain of salt because it's still 15% less year over year. But all things considered, very positive. Very positive momentum, what we needed. And just from escrows alone, I'm curious if you're seeing this as well. I believe July is going to be even better.
We definitely start off strong, and I don't know what happened over the weekend. I guess if folks couldn't go to barbecues or shoot off some fireworks, they were out there looking at properties because our openings yesterday were absolutely off the charts. So, openings will obviously turn into closings, and closings we obviously want to watch and see what prices are doing. A lot of people that I talk to from outside of our market are kind of waiting with almost bated breath to see what prices are going to do around the valley. I think everybody has 2008 on the mind, and they really remember how bad prices got. What do we see in terms of price-wise in June?
So that's actually a great question. I'm glad that I didn't jump the gun. we saw median price jump to $325,000, which for someone like you who's been here so long, this is historic. It is the highest median price we've had in the history of this city. In March, we hit 319, and in this month, 325, in June, 325. To give you kind of some context, in 2012, during that's when we, 2008, all the way down to 2012, we got down to 118,000 median price. So over the course of 8 years, we're on track to almost triple, which is insane. as far as the people looking to time the market, I'm not Nostradamus, and anyone who claims that they are and they know what's going to happen next year, good luck. I mean, even with all of the data and the past data and the current data, we can't control things outside of our own life, and the government can change things to prop up the economy or make it worse. The coronavirus is not under our control, and people's mindsets are not under our control. So when people ask me this question, I say, well, who knows, maybe at the end of the year, but there's three major factors I won't jump into yet that I believe are going to keep prices high.
Well, and obviously, if we want to look at fundamentals, which I think this year kind of fundamentals both in the stock market and knowing what our city has gone through and seeing that median price is maybe out the window a little bit. But if we do look at fundamentals, supply and demand is always one of the biggest ideas of the fundamentals. Now, in 2008, when the foreclosure mess hit, we saw a huge amount of inventory hit the market. What are we kind of seeing inventory-wise, and have we seen an influx of properties hit the market over the last month or two?
I mean, we have, but it's not catching up with demand. Mm-hmm. So for the last couple of years, we've had demand outpacing supply. And even when the coronavirus hit, the amount of people who were willing to sell their house dropped precipitously, right with the demand. So the only thing that changed was the units. If anything, it got even more out of balance. There was more demand than supply because people didn't want them in their house because they were uncertain. So that supply and demand game, I don't see going away anytime soon because of they have the four things. People say it's the four L's with supply and demand. You have land, labor, lumber, and laws. All four of those prevent builders from building houses exponentially like we saw pre-2008 that would stay with pace with the growing population, especially with all the people coming to Nevada.
Oh, and I think a lot of builders thought, just kind of like Yogi Berra said, it's deja vu all over again when they had things planned, and all of a sudden everything got put on hold. And we've kind of talked over the last few weeks on the show about a lot of those doomsday scenarios just didn't happen. I mean, they didn't occur, and thankfully we weren't in that spot. But kind of what you guys have going on, because you guys have a great brokerage with a lot of high producing agents. What are you guys kind of hearing? I know you had a broker roundtable and you guys chat a lot about the market. What are your agents hearing and seeing in their business?
It's kind of like the market got pushed out 3 months. So when we were going through the coronavirus, when everyone thought the world was going to end, the way the market looked, I said one day to my father, I said, this market isn't bad. It's kind of like a November, December, January market.
Right.
Where, March, April, and May are usually the really great time for buying and selling in real estate. So I feel like we just kept pushing 3 months, whereas the summer slows down a little bit. It's kind of like the holidays of the mid-year. Everyone goes on vacation. And instead now, the March, April, and May market, I think, has been pushed to June, July, and August. And we'll see if it continues on, if the numbers hold on coronavirus and unemployment and things like that. But yeah, I think we're just experiencing that 3 month window 3 months later. It's like we just pushed it a quarter.
Just everybody kind of just stayed frozen in time for 3 months, and now we're experiencing where we should have been. Now, one thing that I'm talking to a lot of people from out of markets because they're curious about what's going on here. How many do you guys have a percentage, or what's kind of the feel of how many out-of-state buyers are coming to Las Vegas to buy property? Are you guys seeing a lot of influx of out-of-state investors? Not even investors, but people who are actually relocating here.
California is, I know people have their love-hate relationship with California, but I joke all the time. When I lived in New York, I used to break the chops of people who lived in Boston. I said, Boston is the most beautiful suburb of New York. And it would get them so annoyed because, they had the whole sports thing. Right. And the reality is Las Vegas is the best valued suburb of California. And the quicker we embrace that, the better we are, because Once you get 10, 15, 20 miles inland, why would you still be in California? To me, there's no reason. It's still hot because you're getting further from the beach, you're paying all the taxes, you're still in the desert. It's just the juice isn't worth the squeeze. So you might as well go the entire way. And as California deals with some issues, we're going to continue to be the benefactors of that, which is great because they're not going to get hurt because all the money's going there anyway. It's just going in two different directions. Same thing with the East Coast, same thing with the Midwest. We're seeing the Chicago, the Detroit buyers as usual. I have relatives who are finally going to be pulling the plug after 25 years of me being there, of being here, that are going to come and be in Las Vegas. They want more space. And I have an aunt that has this tiny, like, 1,600 square foot townhome in Queens. That's like $750,000, $800,000. If she sells that and comes to Vegas, it's a whole new life for her. And that living in New York, living in LA, living in Orange County, living in Chicago or the suburbs of Chicago, people are starting to get a new perspective on it. And I think that's only going to help our city.
Well, and it is nice that we are a global destination. We're a global brand name. And I do believe I'm born and raised here. I love Las Vegas. I have a passion for our city. And so I love that other people are looking at us as a prime destination now and not just spot in the desert where you go and you have fun, because you can grow up. I mean, I know you're raising a couple gals here, and it's a good place, and soon to be three, right?
Yep. Yeah. 26, my wife is.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations. What a great time. Yeah, right. But, it is great, and I love how folks are looking internally, because Governor Sisolak just said yesterday, I think he's projecting about a $1.6 billion budget deficit here. I can't even imagine what's going to happen in California. So those taxes are most likely going to go up exponentially. And like you said, people are just can move from a small 1,200 square foot joint near the beach, come here and get a palatial estate. And the beach really isn't that far of a drive away if, in fact, they do ever open it back up down in California. So I love that that's going on here.
And I always look for silver linings, right? Uh-huh. And while I am appreciative of what the casinos bring to the table, this is an opportunity for us to survive without the gaming industry thriving. Mm-hmm. And if we can do that, then we can really change our narrative as a city moving forward. Whereas the gaming industry becomes a partner moving forward rather than the daddy, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I've been here 25 years, even though I graduated high school in New York. And I want to see that happen because gaming is going to change. We're going to, with the Raiders, I wish we can experience how amazing it's going to be to have an NFL team and what they were going to do for the draft, the Pro Bowl and all that great stuff. I mean, we're really this close to becoming that tier one city that can kind of survive on its own just by being Vegas,
Right. And I mean, if this last weekend was any indication, people still are stoked about coming here and celebrating. So kind of you did a great job kind of leading into this, because you're talking about things outside of the real estate industry per se. But what are you really keeping your eye on to kind of get a pulse of the market to see where things might go? What are you paying most attention to right now?
I think that's a great question. Always you gotta keep an eye on California, right? Mm-hmm. So that's just, if we see California start dipping a little bit, that's gonna affect us. The three things I wanted to talk about was, one, obviously, was supply. We talked about that. Interest rates, gotta keep an eye on interest rates. We saw a little rise in interest rates about a year and a half ago, and it really quieted our market down. It shows that it could be touchy. And the third one is lending requirements. We're going to see what happens because we have an affordability issue that we have to keep an eye on. So I believe up until the election, not to get political, whether you like him, whether you hate him, regardless, the current president is going to do everything he can to keep the economy good and prop up this market. Right. So I think we're going to be good up until at least November, because they are going to manipulate or help out, prop up the market. So keep an eye on CFPB. There's some interesting stuff going on over there. Mm-hmm. They're looking. There's a lot about CFPB. I do not like Dodd-Frank, but there was some good stuff about it that we're not in a bubble right now. That, you know, all the reasons why 2008 happened when people ask about that are because there wasn't lending requirements in place. And I did loans back then. Mm-hmm. And people have equity. If they fall behind or they lose their job, they can sell their house
right
and get money. That wasn't the case in 08 and 09. They had to walk in short sales. So that's
different,
been good.
Different landscape for sure. So, Dave, we have about 30 seconds left. You know, you've kind of had to navigate this pandemic, both as a real estate professional and a small business owner. What was your biggest challenge, and how are you able to pivot, or how are you going to come out of this a little bit more efficient, maybe coming out the backside of it?
I'll give you a positive, and I'll give you one of my biggest challenges and one of the things I was most grateful for. And the biggest challenge was mindset. And I gave myself 10 days of woe is me. And then I just accepted the fact that I can't control what I can't control. And I changed my mindset and said, what do I have to do to make 2020 the best year of my life? What pivots, what mindset change has to happen for me to be like, because of the coronavirus, I made a couple of shifts that I'm going to look back in 5 or 10 years and go, thank God 2020 happened because it changed my life for positive. So mindset over everything. And then as far as what I'm glad that my dad and I are conservative with money and we never over-leveraged ourselves. I see a lot of companies out there that just grew so quickly and over-leveraged. It was nice to be able to sleep at night and say, I can go 6 months with Urban Nest not making any money, and I know I can pay every single one of my commissions to my agents, and I know that my family's protected, and I know that I worked my butt off for the last 20 years so that it's all gone in 3 months. And I owe that all to my father, because he came from not a lot, and we call it the Italian version of the Jeffersons, right? You definitely appreciate not having any, when you do get it, you appreciate because you didn't have it. I grew
right
up with a plastic spoon, not a silver spoon. So those are two things.
That's awesome, Dave. Well, Dave, thanks so much. I really appreciate your time. I know it's valuable. Thanks for coming on and sharing a lot of your insight with us today.
Thanks for having me, buddy, and keep doing a great job. You're one of the best out there.
All right. Well, thanks, Dave. I appreciate that. And that will do it for this show. I want to thank our producer down at Rigel Studios, Rick Manning, who is always amazing. We will be back next week, but until then, we'll continue to be the most resourceful people in town.